I hope you have. Made several.
Amen, brother. Slide around here. So should I come up the other side?
Well, it's a delight, again, to be with you this morning. Most of you were here our first hour and saw our PowerPoint presentation. It kind of gave an in-depth, as much as we can in the time we have, just a feel for the Roma people, the folks that God has called us to minister to since we've been there since 2009. And our team, though, has been there really since the early days following the fall of communism in 1989. December is actually the year that, or the month that is celebrated each year. A lot of important events happened in December of 1989. And so as time goes on, some of those things are not always remembered, but there was a tremendous sacrifice paid by many that were involved in the revolution and just bringing that to a close rather quickly, but it wasn't an easy transition. It continues to be have its effects on the culture and the people there, just with there's still a lot of corruption and leftover baggage from nearly 40 years of communism in that country. And so praise God, though, that the gospel is more powerful than communism or socialism or you name any dictatorship. And so we're thankful for the privilege that the fall of communism allowed missionaries and other groups such as ours to come in and plant churches and work among the people there, that many who are religious people but are not religious in the sense of knowing Christ as their personal Savior. And so that is why we're there and why we work with the Roma, who are a minority group that have been really suppressed for a long time, not given the same opportunities and privileges in some cases as their Romanian counterparts. And so we're thankful for the opportunity that we are able to share the Word of God with those folks, but also our desire long-term is to see more leaders come out of the community that will carry on the work when we're not able to do that anymore. So that's our job as church planters, is to work ourselves out of a job. And we've been in Luke Shuara since 2010, and God is continuing to do his work there. We have a really great group of young people right now that we are praying that there will be a pastor come from that group. And so pray for that especially with us. We don't take it for granted that God will provide that, but we certainly need to do our part in praying and teaching and continuing to present the gospel, even when it doesn't show results immediately. We're there planting seeds, we're watering, and we know God is doing things in his timing, not necessarily our timing. Amen. And so I want to just start our time this morning with a short video. It's about 5 minutes. And that will give you a kind of encapsulated some of the things we shared with you this morning.
There are many grapevines in front of our house in Romania, framing the driveway and the front walk. About 40 of them, in fact. We didn't plant them, but they were entrusted to us when we began renting our house. It was winter when we moved in, and the vines were looking their worst, dry, withered, without promise. The owner told us how to take care of them, assuring us that the vines were indeed alive and would yield fruit in their own time. So we invested our time and effort throughout the spring and summer, anticipating a bountiful harvest in the fall. While the master of the vineyard was watching over the grapevines in our yard, he was also watching over many other precious vines across Romania.
We are the Kimmel family, your missionaries to the country of Romania, serving as church planters with Baptist Admissions. For the past 11 years, we have tended many vines in the small village of Lungshuara. We have poured ourselves into the Roma community, seeking to share the gospel and bring them to the Lord. The Roma, or Gypsy people, are looked down upon throughout the world, considered by many to be an unprofitable, unproductive minority, unworthy of time and attention, a culture unable or unlikely to change. The Roma culture reflects centuries of hardship, neglect, and discrimination.
Many of the Roma are very poor and generally uneducated. They mostly subsist on government support, day labor, or seasonal jobs in other European countries. The cycle continues as their children do not consistently attend school and, like their parents, struggle with basic skills such as reading and writing. Discrimination, a lack of economic opportunities, and differing cultural values make it extremely difficult to break the grip of poverty. Yet God places great value on every life. He loves the Roma dearly, and He's been teaching us how to care for these precious vines.
Our teen ministry began in the summer of 2010 with simple preaching in the street and then in a house. Several adults responded to the Lord and were baptized. In time, we were able to buy land and construct a church building where we could worship together and more effectively minister to the children and families. Many of those early vines have withered under the pressure of unbelievers or the temptations of the world or unfulfilled expectations, but some have returned to the Lord and are growing in their relationship with Him. Our weekly church services and outreach ministries provide us with opportunities to show God's love and care for all Roma, regardless of their circumstances. In many ways, we are still in the spring season of working with the vines in Lukeshwar, loving them, helping them, trying to foster within them a desire to know God personally. It has been hard for the Roma men to express interest in the church and to respond to the Lord. Many believe that they need to clean up their lives before they come to Him, but are unwilling or unable to do so. Often the women have a greater spiritual sensitivity, but struggle to accept God's unconditional love and complete forgiveness.
The children love to come to church and do so all on their own. Our children's ministries, such as Sunday school, children's church, after-school help, and other special programs, give us many opportunities to teach them God's Word and encourage them to hear God's voice and to respond to Him. Some of these little vines are just beginning to bud. Others are growing and showing their earliest signs of fruit. The teens love to attend our separate junior high and senior high youth group meetings and to participate in special activities just for them. Some teen programs, such as Bible studies, woodworking sessions, cooking classes, and choir, give us opportunities to further spiritual conversations and deepen relationships. Several of our teens have been saved, and we pray that one day they will become spiritual leaders within their community. Some seasons of ministry have been more difficult than others. This has been a particularly difficult term, with teammates leaving on furlough and Dave experiencing sleep apnea and blood pressure issues. However, the greatest challenge was the COVID-19 global pandemic.
In March 2020, Romania declared a state of emergency and lockdown began. As we watched the number of cases rise, we had to close the church doors and move to an online ministry instead. Although this was a challenge, we were able to record Bible messages and music, as well as children's lessons, until we were able to reopen the church in the summer. We're thankful that we were also able to help the community with much appreciated food packages 3 times during the pandemic.
As our ministry has grown, so have our own daughters. While both have grown up in Romania with a love for its people and culture, they're now in America preparing for the future God has planned for them. Celeste, age 21, begins her final year in college, while Amber, now 18, begins her first year. Although we will soon return to Romania without our daughters, we are excited about the ministry opportunities that await us in Lukeshwara.
Thank you for your continued prayer and financial support. You have been such a blessing to us, and we couldn't do this without you. May God bless your faithfulness, and may He bring forth much fruit from His vines in Romania.
We hope that has given you a feel for Romania in a more encapsulated form. But we are hoping to go back to the field in June. June 1st is the date we're targeting right now. So you can pray for us that we have a lot coming up with Celeste graduating and her wedding. in the May time frame, May 7th and 14th are those two dates. And so just pray for us. Ruth has a lot of involvement in that herself, and it's just, we're very thankful that she's able to be here to help with that. As you ladies know, planning a wedding takes time, and you want to do as much as you can ahead of time, but there's obviously things that happen right at the end, and so we're thankful that we're going to be able to be here for that entire time. And so we're nearly finished with our reporting. We still have probably about 8 or so churches that we'd like to be able to be in, but praise God for him allowing us to be able to be in most of our churches at the front end of our furlough, and then we'll be able to do some other things that we've kind of saved up for the latter part. And so we had intended to go back in January previously, but when the wedding came about and thinking about just the timing of things and with travel with COVID is just it's still a lot of unknowns with that at any given time. So we thought it wise just to stay put and work that out when we get back. And so pray for Romania, as I indicated in the first hour, just still a lot of upheaval right now because of the effects of COVID and because of restrictions that come and go. And overall, Romania has done a pretty good job of managing things up until this recent period in the fall when it was very, very difficult, and it was too late to really try to do much in terms of trying to slow things down. So pray for the Romanian people as they need the Lord at this time. I'd like to just share with you briefly from the Word of God this morning, a message about Paul and his enduring love for the church. And I wanted to, brother here had asked about John 3:16, and so I wanted to share that with you first. Pull it up here just to make sure we memorized this in our youth group. We had a group of verses that we did, and so it is familiar to Ruth and I, but it's good just to make sure that I do it correctly. And so John 3:16 in Romanian says, Fiindcă atât de mult a iubit Dumnezeu lumea, că a dat pe singurul lui Fiu, pentru ca oricine crede în el să nu piară, ci să aibă viață veșnică. Amin. So very similar to in English, you have the components of the gospel message there just laid out very clearly. God's love for the world, gave his only son, and so that we won't die and be lost forever in eternity without salvation, but we can have eternal life. And so thank you for asking for that. And and Romanian language, I love just reading it. It's very phonetic. It's just, it flows nicely. And so I often read my own personal devotions in Romanian just so I continue to be familiar with the language and not lose it during our time here. And so, amen for God equipping us early in our time in Romania so that we can converse in the tongue that people are familiar with. And it just, you can't begin to explain what it would be like not to know the language of the local people and how difficult it would be to do ministry without it. And so, but if you have your Bibles, please open with me to Acts chapter 20. I'd like to read just a few verses here. Our time is short this morning, so I want to be aware of that. Acts chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. Paul writes, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Mm-hmm. So even there you see reference back to that great verse in John 3:16. God gave his son and purchased our salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Paul here in this passage, if we read this entire passage, it's really about him saying goodbye to the Ephesians and a group of people who he spent a long time ministering to. There's reference to him perhaps being there as long as 3 years because he talks about praying over them and praying for them. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so that gives us an indication how long Paul labored in among the Ephesian people. And so certainly it's a message of saying goodbye, but it's also a message of warning, as you heard in these verses I read, that Paul wanted to make them aware of there were going to be problems when he no longer was in the picture. And so he was preparing them for that. But Paul did this because I believe he had this enduring love for the church, not just the church there in Ephesus, but every church he planted, he had a close relationship with. And some obviously were better than others in terms of how well they remained faithful to the word and how long they lasted. But certainly Paul did what he was commanded to do, to preach the gospel and to let the Holy Spirit bring the fruit and the increase from his work. And so God gave Paul such a strong love for the church, even though he faced incredible harm and humiliation at times, but Paul kept going back, I believe, to his commitment to his calling as a missionary and as a preacher of the gospel, and he never wavered from that. He didn't say, well, it's just too much for me, I can't do this anymore. Certainly he maybe thought those things as any missionary would in his situation, but we don't see that Paul was giving up or he was implying that his work was done when he was leaving. He just knew that his travel was going to take him to Jerusalem and then ultimately on to Rome. And how that was all going to roll out, we know it was a very, very difficult time for the Apostle Paul, but this was before all of that. And so he wanted to prepare these leaders in Ephesus. Three things I want to share with you this morning are how we know about Paul's enduring love for the church. Is the first one is that he was determined to remain faithful to God's word. Paul was determined to remain faithful to God's word. He was not deterred by those who wanted to try to upend or twist what he said. He kept going back to the message of the gospel, its simplicity, but also its power. And Paul was not a coward. He remained bold and steadfast in the face of much adversity. We see here in this passage that, again, he wanted to go to Jerusalem, he wanted to go to Rome, but Jerusalem especially was where his antagonists were. There, that's where the Judaizers, or those that wanted to inject Judaism into Christianity. They wanted to hang on to those old traditions that were taught in the law and in the Old Testament that were no longer needed or really valid in the context of the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought through his death on the cross and his resurrection. And Paul was wanting to be involved and to meet with as many people as he could as long as it was possible. And we know that he spent time in jail or in house arrest in some cases. He didn't have the freedom to circulate about. And so while he was still a free man, he wanted to engage and to try to support believers wherever they might be throughout the Roman, all the provinces and so forth. So we see Paul was a man in constant motion, but he was also not alone in ministry. And so praise God for those who come behind those in ministry. We couldn't do what we're doing as a couple without churches like Calvary Baptist that are behind us, praying for us, sending financial support, but also just wanting to support us in ways that we don't always know about. And so Paul had a support system, but he also had faithful men and women that were surrounding him and that were doing things for him when he couldn't be in multiple places. You know, God gives us just one place where we can be at one time. We're not omnipotent in a sense where we can be anywhere at all times, and so, or omnipresent, I guess, as God is. But Paul had others that were serving alongside him, and verse 20 tells us, in chapter 20, verse 4, we see some of these names. It says, "And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus." So these are some of the names here, certainly not an exhaustive list, but these were the ones that came to mind as Paul was writing and wanted to, or as Luke was writing, but Paul was, these were those who were close to Paul and that meant a lot to him and were valuable in his ministry. Godly men whom Paul depended on and through whom the gospel message was kept alive. And so we see another point out of our passage this morning that Paul was showing his enduring love for the church by preparing others to remain behind after him. So many times, you know, we see even in our world today where those in ministry haven't taken the proper steps to prepare for the time when they are no longer able to serve, whether it be a pastor who is reaching retirement and doesn't have a successor in mind, or just simply, you know, is no longer able to because of illness or other disease or some unforeseen event. And so Paul didn't want that to happen in these young churches. They needed stability and leadership. They needed men who are equipped to carry the gospel and to continue to teach and to grow these young believers. And so that's where we see Paul not only wanting to prepare them from a doctrinal standpoint, but also to prepare them for the attacks that were going to come when Paul wasn't able to be there any longer. In verses 28 to 30, say, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So these were fellow laborers who needed to be prepared for the attacks that Paul had been taking up until now. These new leaders, or these fellow believers who were involved in leadership in the church, they were going to be attacked personally and spiritually. The Judaizers, or those who were against the message of the gospel, were going to use similar tactics to undermine the gospel. And certainly those attacks can come from outside the church, but we know too that Satan uses, unfortunately, individuals at times in churches that sow discord or create doubt or try to upend the spiritual gains that are happening, or if a church is going through a period of growth. You know, Satan does at times is given the power to be able to make inroads even through those in the church. And so it's not something we want to dwell on, but certainly Paul knew that this could happen. And so Paul wanted them to be prepared, to not be surprised when this was going to happen. And he wanted to encourage them, however, that he would be praying for them, that their ministry would be guided by the Lord, who would give them protection, but also wisdom how to handle these false teachers and false attacks that would be coming. And so this is true even today. We know that there are false teachers who are still around and want to try to infiltrate Bible-believing churches and bodies that are trying to do the right thing. And so that's why we need to know our Bibles. We need to know what the Bible says about certain things. It's not doesn't do a lot of good to study all the different cults and those religions that are you know that are not Christian. We need to focus our energy on learning the Bible so that we can identify those false teachers and those false doctrines when they come about. Because there's any number of false things out there, and we could spend a whole lot of time and energy trying to be up on all those things, which, you know, is a little of that is okay, but if you're devoting more of your time and energy to learning about cults than the Word of God, then that's not good. And so always rooted in the gospel, in his message. And then we see his intense love for them was shown for them as brothers and sisters in Christ. He treated them as his spiritual children, amen? He didn't want them to languish in their faith, nor did he want them to be preyed upon by his enemies. He knew that he had a responsibility to nurture them and thus to ensure that they would nurture those who would be saved under their ministry. And so even in his absence. And that's important for us in missions, but also as a local church. When new believers come to Christ, they need to be discipled. They need to be nurtured. It's the profession of Christ is just the beginning. And it's a beautiful beginning, as we heard this morning. And so, but there needs to be more time and energy devoted to making sure that that new believer is nurtured just like a new babe in Christ, and that they are fed from the Word of God in a way that they can understand, and as they apply themselves and as the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, they will nurture and they will grow in maturity. But it's those young believers that are also vulnerable to any of this false doctrine that you find in, you know, on the internet or on Facebook or, you know, places that are not necessarily trying to deceive people, but they've come out of another branch of Christianity that just isn't biblical. And so that's where a young believer needs to be kept close and not allowed to just fall by the wayside. And it's our responsibility. And if you've had the privilege of leading someone to Christ, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that they're doing well and that they're getting involved in a local church and that they're being nurtured in a correct way. And so Paul was doing this. He had a responsibility, and he wanted to make sure when he stepped out of the picture that was going to continue. And certainly small groups and things that are popular today, individual Bible studies, you know, meeting in homes, those are valid ways to do discipleship. But they shouldn't replace, and they can't replace, a body of believers coming together on Sunday and throughout the week and in the local church, just as we have this morning. Amen. We need to keep focus on the local body and the interaction that comes about when we're together in the house of God, worshiping and learning from the Bible and being edified through our understanding of Scripture. And so Paul was very much interested in that. That's the mode in which we are operating as missionaries where we serve and other missionaries throughout the world. That model, the local church model, is preeminent in what we're doing. And Paul began that and gave us that example in his ministry, and we continue that today. In our ministry and other missionaries who are serving alongside us and other BMM missionaries around the world. So as we kind of bring things to a conclusion this morning, just want you to think about if you have that love for the church, this local church, like Paul had for those believers in Ephesus, are you actively pursuing those around you that need to know Christ, need to know how to be saved, or are you simply stepping back and relying on someone else to do that? I pray that is not the case. If you're not sure about how to do that, talk to Pastor Davis and just find out what are some ways that I can share the gospel with someone I know and do so in a way that meets them where they're at. Oftentimes, a gospel conversation will differ from person to person because everybody has they're at a different place in life. And they maybe have had a negative experience in the past that you need to help them overcome. But oftentimes, in dealing with someone who is unsaved, they have to reach the point where they know that they're lost, that they need to be saved. And so oftentimes in our world today, people are blinded by this notion that if I'm good enough, if I've done more good things than bad things, if people accept me as a good person or acknowledge me as good, God's going to treat me the same way. And that's just not found in Scripture, friends. We need to be serious about what the Bible says on this very critical matter. And so talk to the pastor, learn how to share the gospel in a simple but effective way, and God will honor that desire as you equip yourself, as you desire to see people saved, and as you desire to see new believers discipled. That's a whole nother chapter in ministry, but certainly it's one that we all should be looking around and trying to identify those that need to grow, whom we can mentor, but also those who maybe can help us grow, because we're all on this journey at different points. Amen. We all can learn something. We never arrive until we reach heaven, and so we need to be about the Lord's work, just as the Apostle Paul is. And so I hope that has given you a short taste of the love that Paul had for his churches and the people that he ministered to. And I pray that will speak to your heart today as we conclude. So let's bow in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask Pastor Davis to come back. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this church. Thank you for allowing us to be here, allowing us to be healthy and strong enough to be here. We know there are those who cannot, maybe that are watching over the internet. Pray that you would just help them wherever they may be, that they would be encouraged by these words and that they would feel a connection to this church, Lord. But at the same time, I pray that you would be with those who are here and are serving and are able to visit and to interact. They have that responsibility just as we all do. And I pray that you would just help this church to be a light in this community and throughout the area, Lord. Pray that you would continue to bless the activities that are coming up, even associated with Christmas and the holiday season that's just nearly upon us, Lord. And I pray that help us to continue to stay focused on your love for us, but also your love for the world and our responsibility as believers to minister and to share our faith with those around us. Lord, that's a message I need to hear. It's a message we all need to be taking into consideration because we don't know how much time we have left. We don't know how long any of us will be given to be alive in this world. We need to be prepared to step into eternity. And I pray that you would just speak through the message of the gospel through this holiday season and through this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kimmel. Appreciate that message. Isn't he and his wife a blessing?
Yes.
And don't they have a wonderful ministry?
Yes.
And is it not provoke you, I hope, to want to do more here?
Yes.
I hope it does. It does me. But I'm so glad you guys got to be with us today and share your ministry once more. And I wish your family the best, and especially the upcoming marriage and graduation. Exciting times and sometimes crazy times, huh? All right, well, let me just say this in closing. If there's someone here today that's not a Christian, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I'd like you to do that today. If you need to talk to me or Brother Kimmel, I'd I'm available. Amen. I appreciate your approach toward the ministry, brother, trying to reach those children and young people. It seems like we've lost a couple generations around here. It's kind of sad, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Let's, Les, can you, Ginger, come and have a song?
Sure.
And then we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll go down and eat. Did you have one picked out, Ginger?
Yeah. 402.
In the red book, if you would.
402. I want everybody, and I don't. If you run off, I'm going to get mad at you. No, I'm just kidding. You hurt my feelings. How's that? I want everybody can stick around. If you have to go somewhere, I understand. But if you can, stick around and eat with us, okay? We've got a good meal ahead of us. Les, you come ahead.
Okay, page 402, trust and obey. At this time of the year, it's as good or better as any that do this. Do this very thing, trust and obey. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse, okay?
We walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last